Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
So you cannot separate Christian belief from Christian behavior. And that's essentially what St. Paul teaches in his New Testament letters. The first part of St. Paul's letters typically deals with doctrinal and theological issues. The second part usually deals with how we are to live and act as followers of Jesus. That duality, that double aspect of belief and behavior is typical, again, of all the apostles' letters. So when the church speaks of faith and morals, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about belief and about behavior. There needs to be coherence between those two. Our first reading today was taken from one of the apostles' letters, from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Yesterday in the liturgy, for those of you who attended Mass, we heard in the beginning, the first reading, the beginning of the fourth chapter, where St. Paul speaks about the unity which characterizes the body of Christ. He says to the Ephesians, and essentially says to us as well, he says, "Strive to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace," Ephesians 4, verse 3. Now today, the apostle actually talks about the diversity within the church, diversity of gifts and diversity of ministries. So unity and diversity. So these are two realities that we know that are actually found in God himself, because God is one, but he's also three at the same time. And those two realities, unity and diversity, are found in his church as well. And for that matter, it makes sense because unity and diversity are found in Christ himself, who, as we know, is both God and man. He's both human and divine. Now, in today's letter, verse 7, St. Paul says this. He says, "Grace was given to each of you according to the measure of Christ's gift." That word for grace in the original Greek is charis. And it means favor, grace, kindness, gracious deed, gift. It actually has a root word. The root word is kairo. It sounds almost like a city in Egypt, but with the pronunciation at the wrong place, kairo. Kairo is the Greek word, the root word. And there are other New Testament words that come from that root word, that word kairo. For example, when we hear the angel Gabriel greet Our Lady at the Annunciation, the angel says, "Hail, full of grace, hail or rejoice." The Greek word is kaire, which means to be glad or to rejoice. Or another word that we all know, which has that same root, is Eucharistia, from where we get our English word, the Eucharist, from. And what does the Eucharist mean? It means thanks or thanksgiving. Or thankfulness. So when St. Paul in his letter says grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, he's saying that the grace that we have received, the charis, is not something that we've earned. It's a gift. It's a free gift. And he says in another place, 1 Corinthians 4:7, he says, "What do you have that you have not received? And if you have received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift?" Why do you boast as if it were not a gift? So the proper response when someone gives me a gift is what? Gratitude, to be thankful. That word Eucharistia in Greek, thankfulness. Now in his commentary on this same epistle, St. John Chrysostom asks this. He asks, what does it mean according to the measure of Christ's gift? And then he says this, it means not according to our merit, for then no one would have received what he has received. Not according to our merit. St. Paul, in today's reading, isn't talking necessarily about the spiritual gifts that we all have in common, that we've all received. For example, baptism, you know, the gift of the other sacraments, the Eucharist, penance, the theological and infused virtues, actual graces. Those are gifts which are common to all believers and are necessary for salvation and for our sanctification. Now, St. Paul today is actually referring to gifts that Christ gives for the good of the church, for the upbuilding of the church. St. Paul's speaking of the diversity of gifts that we, as members of Christ's church, have received. He says that Christ gave the grace for some to be apostles. Some are called to be apostles, like St. Paul himself. Others prophets, others evangelists, others pastors and teachers. And he gives us those gifts, as the apostle says again, quote, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:12. So whatever gifts or whatever ministries we have, God has given to us these gifts and ministries so that we can put them to good use for the benefit of others. You know, when someone gives us a good gift, exactly what we need to do, not only be thankful for it, but to put it to good use as well, not to put it on the shelf like children do who receive a lot of presents at Christmas time. Sometimes they just put the gifts on the shelf. No, we need to actually put the gifts that we have been given to good use. And the apostle continues telling us why God gives different gifts and different ministries. He says, it is so that, quote, we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. He says, Ephesians 4, verse 13. So the building up of the body of Christ, which is the church, occurs to the extent that we embrace and hold on to the truths of the faith, and to the extent that we practice charity as well. Just like unity and diversity go hand in hand, so too truth and charity also go hand in hand. Truth without charity, what does that do? That repels people, that pushes them away from Jesus. Charity without truth, well, we can say in a certain sense that it's an offense to the dignity of the human person. Why? Because God gave us a mind so that we can know what is true and embrace what is true. But it's also connected with a heresy known as religious indifferentism, basically teaching that no religion is superior or better than another. That's not true. That's false. When St. Paul says in the same verse 13, speaking of the knowledge of the Son of God, it's not just, keep in mind, it's not just head knowledge. It's not just accepting the truth about who Jesus is in our mind, but it's also having an active, loving relationship with him. It's also what we call heart knowledge as well, experiential knowledge. So St. Paul is saying that God wants us to be united in one faith, basically to be charitable, which essentially means to be spiritual grown-ups, to be grown-ups in the faith. Part of being spiritually mature, connected with what he's talking about today, is not being envious of someone else's gifts or talents, whether or not they're natural talents, or in this case, what St. Paul is speaking about, spiritual gifts or talents, not being envious or jealous of others. The Catechism speaks on this. It says at number 2553, it says that envy, what is it? It's a form of sadness. A sadness at the sight of another person's goods, coupled with an excessive, unhealthy desire to have them. So it's okay in the one sense to desire, and even good to desire, to be spiritually blessed as someone else may be, and that's what the saints would call holy envy, you know, to desire to have a certain blessing, to see that blessing in other people, to desire to have it. But when that desire turns into wanting to take away that good from them and to have it for myself, that's when it falls under the capital sin. So we need to be careful about that. There is a professor named Anthony Esselin. He writes this about envy. He says, envy comes from the Latin word invidia. Invidia, which means literally the habit of seeing things twisted or inside out. For example, he says, my brother thinks well before he speaks. What do? I call him sly. He's sly. Or my sister cries when she sees an animal suffering. I call her a sentimentalist. Okay. Or my friend makes the sign of the cross and says grace before he eats lunch in the cafeteria. I call him a religious zealot. He's a religious zealot. Envy does worse than attribute vices to people who are not vicious, says the professor. It grieves at the sight of their very virtues and turns those virtues the wrong side out, turns them inside out, basically what the scribes and the Pharisees did with our Lord in his ministry. So we do need to examine ourselves in this area to see if that vice of envy is a problem with us, because it can be a subtle problem, because spiritually it can cripple our growth in holiness. You know, God wants us to appreciate the gifts that others in the church have and to benefit from them as well, but to not be envious of those people. You know, we need to strive to grow in faith, in hope, and in charity, and in every virtue, to become mature in Christ, so that, as the Apostle says, quote, we may no longer be infants, tossed by waves and swept along by every wind of teaching, arising from human trickery, from the cunning of the in the interests of deceitful scheming, he says, Ephesians 4:14. So basically, those who are spiritually immature can be envious, but they can also simply be conformed to the world's way of thinking and judging, more so than they are to God's way of thinking and to God's way of judging. So being a spiritual child in the negative sense includes, as St. Paul says, being tossed by the waves and swept along by every wind of teaching arising from human trickery, says the apostle. So again, someone who's spiritually mature doesn't wander from the truth or even try to reinvent it. In order to grow in spiritual maturity, we need to learn to take to heart what the apostle says in Romans 12:2, one of the verses which I repeat very often to people. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may know what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's really learning to be conformed more to the image and the mind of Christ than the mind of the world is a sign of spiritual maturity. Now, today's passage from St. Paul's letter finishes in this way. He says, rather, living the truth in love, we should grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, with the proper functioning of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love, says the Apostle, Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. Now, a recent Bible commentary, says that regarding the Apostle's words, it says this, quote, truth and charity should be very much in evidence in a Christian's public and private life. When one meets people who thinks differently from oneself, it says in matters of opinion, so if someone thinks differently from me in something which you can have a different opinion on, one should respect their point of view, respect their God-given freedom, and remember that in matters of that kind, no one can be said to be absolutely right or absolutely wrong. However, continues the commentator, situations will arrive when a Christian is dealing with people who regard the truth itself as a mere matter of opinion, or who in fact regard as true something which is false. In these situations, too, one should practice the truth with charity, truth and charity, also in these situations, by being very understanding towards the persons involved, yet refusing to accept the error proposed. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,